That. We want to do it right, so amen and amen. So keep that in mind for the 100 Club, not to be confused with the 700 Club. All right, amen. And all right, so amen and amen. You know, we have people here in this church, and they're a remnant of people, God's people, throughout the country that have been getting serious about God to deliver us from captivity as a country. We have been in captivity to a globalist, I preach this, an antichrist, complete takeover of America. And this remnant has been praying. I like that scripture. Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry unto him day and night? And I hope you're part of that remnant that is living before God and serving God in such a way that God would deliver us from this takeover of America that really has the goal to bring in the Mark of the Beast system. In fact, by September 15, 2024, they have a goal to have us on central bank digital currency. So we'll be on a total cash system. And when that happens, if that clamps down on us, it's game, set, match. Because you have to operate outside of that system because they can control everything from that. But, you know, that's Satan's timeline. And we need to be aware of that. And so with this in mind, there are, let me say tonight, and this kind of gets where I'm going, there are many professing Christians, I'm not going to say they're all saved, many professing Christians in America that have their eyes open and they see what's going on. But they have no hope, no belief that God is going to deliver us. And they see a total loss of our constitutional republic is guaranteed. And they look at Donald Trump's attempt to put America first and bucking the globalist cabal as being a result. And they see what's going on, that all the attacks Donald Trump has had with the spying on his campaign, with the impeachments, with the stolen election that happened through the mail-in ballots, and I believe through the machines. It's been demonstrated now in court. You can change the machines, you can change votes. And through all of the things that have been going on, they've been doing that. Then they're trying to charge him with insurrection. He's not ever been found guilty in a court of law, but they're trying to take him off the ballot. And are doing that in many states. They're even trying it in Pennsylvania. And so they see that, and they get very discouraged when they see all of these things happening and so forth and so on. And that now he's being criminally prosecuted in Washington, D.C. for allegedly causing an insurrection on January 6th, although that thing was just delayed, and there's a lot of interesting stuff going on about that. And then, you know, you have the Texas border, and you have people going down there to Texas that are patriots, and they are peacefully demonstrating, but they're concerned because the NSA, the National Security Agency, had a plan to call these patriots that were going down there terrorists, and then to put on their facial recognition technology to identify them and harass them and prosecute them as terrorists. You say, oh, can they do that? They did the same thing with the people in January 6th. They put them on the terrorist list, and they used their facial recognition technology on January 6th, those that were at the Capitol. Just letting you know. And that's what's going on. But this time, there was a big debate within the NSA about whether they should do that. In other words, the agency was fighting within their own selves about that. And these things are going on in America right now. And what I'm saying is there are those that believe that America has no hope, that we are going down. Now, by the way, if America goes down totally and finally, that is the last hope to stay out of the globalist one-world government. Once America goes down, that is the last hope. Now people say, are you preaching politics? No, I'm not preaching politics tonight. I'm preaching God Save America. You ever heard of a God Save America rally? That's what we're having here tonight. We're having God Save America. And I'm talking about how we can have our contribution. I'm not talking about organizing political parties and doing all of that and becoming precinct captains. No, I want bus captains. I want soul winners. I want prayer warriors to have our part. But I want you to be aware that I am not of that crowd that believes that there's no hope for America. Now, you've heard me say the demon rat party, and if you don't like that, you're going to have to deal with it. But the party's been taken over by the globalists. What about the Republican Party? A lot of it has been taken over, likewise, by the globalists. Well, you say there's no difference. Well, there is a difference because within the Republican Party, there is an uprising. So you have to recognize that difference. Don't be stupid now. Recognize that. Now, I'm not preaching parties. Some people say I'm apolitical. Well, you have to be aware of what's going on. Don't just tell me you're apolitical. You know what's going on. And you be discerning, and the Bible says in the nation of Israel that there was a tribe of Israel that knew what was happening. They could discern the times. You know what tribe that was? I believe it was Issachar. And they could discern what was going on, and they knew what Israel ought to do. I hope Scranton Revival Baptist Church is going to be that kind of tribe. Amen. And I hope you're going to be that kind of Christian tonight. And so they look at what's going on. But some of these folks, they look at the fact that we had something unprecedented that happened in 2020 to steal the election and to control people. And what was that? We had a big clot shot put out. And it caused these clots, I'm not going to call them blood clots, they're weird stuff, and that caused mass death, the clot shot, the jab, we call it. And that went around worldwide. It's now clearly tabulated in a guy in New Zealand did a tremendous tabulation. 20 million people were killed that they know of through the clot shot alone that went out there. And people see this, and they were shutting down and taking people's freedom, saying they couldn't go to church and saying they couldn't do this. They had to wear masks even though there's no scientific basis for it. And Anthony Fauci became that little Hitler that, you know, was over everything. And that guy is wicked. And Bill Gates, who anointed him? He's not even a medical doctor. Who anointed him the man to tell everybody what to do when he has gone on record to say he's for reducing the population? And he's with that group that wants to bring down whatever it is, 8 billion or 9 billion world population down to 500 million. That's a lot of people killed. And so we are living in these days, and people, listen, are waking up to it. They're waking up to the election fraud. They're waking up to the clot shots. They're waking up. Right now, I mentioned that there is a group in Denver, Colorado, and that's where the government of the United States is, Denver, Colorado. It doesn't go in Washington, D.C. They got a whole other government ready to be set up in Denver, Colorado. And what are they doing there? Right now, they're giving their health workers an Ebola vax. They're shooting them up with Ebola. And they have a rat lab or a bat lab. A flying rat is a bat. They have a bat lab there. And guess what they're doing? Gain of function research with corona, SARS-2 virus, which is COVID, as they call it, and Ebola. And Ebola is no picnic. And then they have this disease X. And why would these people do this? These people do this because they're under Satan's control. And these people are big people. I'm talking people like George Soros and Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and many, many others. And the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and Tedros of the WHO, the World Health Organization. I'm calling these people out tonight. They're wicked, evil people that the Bible talks about. You say you preach a politics. You're crazy, man. I am preaching prophecy. I am preaching what the Bible says, and you need to be aware of that. And people that make a statement like that about my preaching show their ignoramuses. They don't they just don't understand what's going on. And I don't want you to be like that. I want you to know what's going on. But what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that there are folks that know these things that I'm talking about tonight. They can tell you about these things. They go to their news. They get their news from now Tucker Carlson and even Elon Musk is seeing a lot of these things. He's not a born-again Christian. And they're seeing these things. They get their news. Alex Jones, he sees a whole lot. He claims to be a born-again Christian. He may very well be. He's a good source of news. But I'm just saying to you tonight that people that know these things, and yet they have no hope at all for saving America. They see it coming down, and it is coming down. I am not ignorant of Satan's devices. I am not ignorant of these things that are going on. I watch these things. I warn about these things. Didn't I warn about the jab? Said, don't take it. Don't take it. And yet people took it, and people died. And I'm saying people are still dying of cancers and all kinds of complications from the jab. And so I'm saying that as a pastor, I believe we are to warn. But tonight, I am not of that crowd that says God can't save America. There's no hope for America. And I want to say something tonight, and here's the statement I want to make. And it's the title of my sermon, Your Enemy Proposes, But God Disposes. Your enemy proposes, but God disposes. And I'm not ignorant. I know Lindsey Graham met with these globalists back in the 80s when I preached about that. And he would tell you just what was going to happen because the globalists could predict what was going to happen because they planned what's going to happen. They plan what's going on in the world. They plan it. They plan for gas prices to go up. They plan for them to go down just before the election. You know, notice they come down a little bit. You know, they've eaten into our reserves and everything, and they've tried to buy gas from Iran and different sources and Venezuela and go beg for gas. That's idiotic. We have more gas than any of them. Right. We don't need any of them. Donald Trump had us independent and energy dominant. What is going on here? It's crazy. It's kind of like don't kill the cow in India, you know. They wouldn't kill cows because it could be one of your relatives. They worship Mother Earth. Don't. It's crazy. And this Green New Deal going on in Europe, the Dutch farmers and other farmers in France, they're throwing manure all over the highways in Europe. Just putting manure out and fertilizer all over their highways because these people are espousing this Green New Deal and putting farmers out of business so we can't grow food. And what's that going to lead to? Eventually, my friends, read your Bible. This isn't party. This is this isn't politics. This is prophecy. We're going to have famines. Right. In the beginning of Sorrows, the first part of the 70th week of Daniel. By the way, the church will be here for that. Right. We're going to have pandemics. We're starting to see it now. The church is going to be here for that. Yes, we're going to have race wars and ethnic conflict. Don't feed into that baloney. They try to set one race against the other so they can control everybody. It's these globalists that are doing this. They accuse you of being a white supremacist or being a this or that. They're trying to stir up racial tension. And they're behind the scene doing this. But what I'm saying is, yes, there are more people that are becoming aware of this. But I believe that there are many people, and I have them coming to me, and they say, there's no hope for America. We're going down. There's no hope Donald Trump getting back. It's not going to happen. And he's not going to be able to do anything. And all of this, well, yeah, Donald Trump can't do anything in himself, but if it's somebody that God has raised up, now that's a different story altogether. And so I want to say, don't fear the power of your enemy. Your enemy proposes, but God disposes. And I've heard people say, well, you know, the people that went to the Capitol that day, they went into the Capitol, they were playing right in the hands of the government. They had it all set up and they were being purely stupid. And a guy like Alex Jones, he said, don't go in. But the only reason he said, don't go in, he said, because he has people working for him that were high up in the government, and they knew what was going on. They tipped him off that morning. Otherwise, he would have had no idea. But I really don't care about that. Because you see, if the government was doing that, and I believe they were, there were forces in the government that were doing that because they wanted to make Trump look bad and the Patriots look bad and all that, and they wanted to totally... But you know what? Jesus knew what was going on, and he went into the temple and he turned over the tables and they called him an insurrection and they tried to get him, but he was just saying, this is my Father's house. This is what it's supposed to be. And they crucified him for it. And I don't care. God has a purpose in allowing all these things to happen. And it is in the Constitution. You are allowed to protest peacefully. And that Ashley Babbitt that went in there, and I prayed with the guy that was crying that saw her get shot. And Ashley Babbitt, when they shot her, I saw the guy come out. My wife saw him, and she said, you need to pray with that man. And he came out of there. He's like, they just shot her. She had no weapon whatsoever. She didn't break one bit of glass. She told him, don't break any glass. You see, there were provocateurs in there breaking glass. And they planted a pipe bomb, and then they found the pipe bomb. Government agency. That's all coming out. It's going to come out, I believe. But I'm just saying to you, God is the ultimate chess player. You don't play God. And this, that'd be a title for my message. You don't play God. You know, you're not going to play him. You're not going to beat him. And so tonight, I would like us to go to Exodus 15. And I want to say three things about that. That you don't play God. Your enemy proposes, but God disposes. And I want to say three things about that. Number one, I want to say, therefore, don't fear the power of the enemy. You don't need to fear the power of the enemy. You need to see his power. You need to have a healthy understanding of his power. You need to respect it. But you don't need to fear it. You say, why not? God says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so here in Exodus, and look at verse 9, here's what it said. The enemy said these things. Now notice what the enemy is saying. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. That is what the globalists are saying with America, and they almost have it, right? Now, when were these words spoken by the enemy? They were spoken after Israel had been freed and now was going out of the land of Egypt and And Pharaoh was defeated, but then what did he do? God hardened his heart. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And God wanted his heart hardened. Why? Because God said, now you're going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh came out with all of his Egyptian host, all of the chariots, and he came upon these unarmed former slaves that had no army, nothing, and he came upon them up against the Red Sea with no place to hide, no place to run, no place to go. And I am just saying, don't fear the power of your enemy. Because the Jews, when they saw what was going on, they knew what was going on. They knew what Pharaoh said. He said, I'm going to overtake them. I'm going to pursue them. I've got them. You know what? I don't know about you, but they have said, I've got Trump so many times. If you read the mainstream media, like I get some of their news, they're getting him every day. They got him here, they got him there. I mean, it's crazy. They got him. You know, it reminds me, I've said it, Wile E. Coyote. Who'd Wile E. Coyote go after, the Roadrunner? How many seen that? He never gets the Roadrunner. Never gets him. Never. Now, I'm not attributing anything to Donald Trump. I'm just saying if God's going to use him, you're not going to get him. You're not going to get him. I know in the Bible, you know, the beast is going to try to get Elijah. He's going to try to get Moses. When they come back and preach in Jerusalem, he's going to try it for 3.5 years, and he won't be able to do it. For 3.5 years. And they're preaching right under his nose. I'm just saying, if your time is up, man, your time is up. If my time is up, my time is up. But if it's not up, it won't be up till God says it's up. So let's just do what God wants us to do. Be aware of what the enemy does. But do it. And you say, what does God wants us to do? Pray and do the Great Commission. Amen. What we preached on today and what our church is doing. And so the Jews were all freaked out. And they were discouraged and all the rest of it, and they were hopeless. You know what? I like what the three friends of Daniel said down there in Babylon. Remember when the king had all the power and they didn't bow down to worship the idol that the king had set up, and they knew that the penalty for doing that, civil disobedience, was they were going to be thrown into a furnace of fire. And they were challenged with that. And the king said, I'm giving you a chance to change your mind. He said, well, no, we're not changing our mind. And they said, maybe you'll throw us in that fire and maybe we'll be burned up. But one thing you could know, we're not changing our mind. Amen. And he said, God is able to deliver us from that fire if he wants to. But you know what? He did want to. But even if he doesn't, they said, we're still not going to give in. And that's exactly the way I feel. I'm going to keep preaching what I preach. I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to keep doing. And God leads me to protest something, I'll do it. But I'll just do what God wants. And I'm not going to, by the grace of God, I'm not going to fear the enemy. Because God is greater. Greater than he that's in us. Than he that's in the world. And I thank God I don't have to fear a fire, a furnace. They have to fear the fire of hell. Because that fire doesn't go out. And you don't get delivered from that once you're in there. And we need to come back to that, and we need to realize that. But don't fear the power of the enemy. And the Israelites should have remembered that. Think about this. Had they not seen, here they are, and the whole Egyptian army's coming at them. All of Egypt is against them. They have no weapons. You know, by the way, I don't put hope in weapons. Right. I put hope in faith rather than flight or fight. It's God. I believe if God saves America, it's not going to be through a civil war.
Right.
I think that's what the enemy wants.
Right.
I think God's going to do it. That you're not going to have to fight in this thing right here. And I'm not against arms and the right to bear arms. Don't get me wrong. I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in that. But I'm just telling you what I believe based on the Bible. And the Israelites should have known. The Israelites should have known that, look at this. Remember when Moses first went to Pharaoh and God said, "Let my people go." And what happened? Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And he said, "I'm not going to let those people go." He said, "You guys are lazy. I used to give you the straw to make the bricks. Now you're going to have to go all over the country, find your own straw, and make your own blank bricks." That's his attitude. He was hard-hearted, prideful. And you know what the Jews did then? They said to Moses, "Man, you made it worse. You made our situation worse. We believed you were of God. Now our situation's worse." And you know why God let it get worse? Because God said to Moses, "Now you're going to see what I'm going to do." Amen. Not what Gate Day pundit's going to do. They rigged the polls anyway. They poll mostly Democrats, and they have all the tricks they do with a poll. You know, are you for Trump and white supremacy, or are you for Biden? You know, that's what they said. You for Trump and white supremacy? You know, things like that. And then they get their polls and they do a psyops on you, psych you out, because they don't want you to vote. Then they'll cheat if you do vote. I mean, they got everything going on here. It's a lockdown, friends. And it is rigged. Trump is right. He's telling the truth. He's rigged. But I'm saying to you, though I can recognize all that, you don't have to fear the power of the enemy. And the Jewish people should have understood, yeah, Pharaoh did that. He made it worse. And we're seeing things, some things are getting worse, right, since Trump came in. But you know what? God began to hit them with a plague. And then he hit them with another plague. He hit them with 10 plagues. And finally, after the 10th plague, where they lost their firstborn child and they protected the Jewish homes by the Passover lamb's blood, finally Pharaoh said, "Okay, leave, just leave." And then after he did that, he came after them again. Now they should have concluded the same God that sent Moses and sent plague one and plague two and plague all the way up to the 10th plague, the same God is not finished with Pharaoh yet. And you ought to think about that yourself here. What's going on here? I would not be a bit surprised, knowing God and how he works, that you're going to see something happen here that's going to show the power of God. So don't fear the power of the enemy. Your enemy proposes, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." And often he does, only because God lets him. But if God doesn't let him, it ain't happening. Number two, do recount the specific deliverances of your God. Look at Exodus 15. I'll read two verses, verse 10 and verse number 12. You follow along in your copy. I'll read it. Verse 10 and verse number 12. And I put my sermon on the wrong page, so we got to switch this around. This won't do. All right, let's go verse 10. It says there of Exodus 15, I'll read it, and then verse 12, it says, "Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters." And then verse 12, "Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them up." You ever heard of God's right hand? That's the one where he knocks you out. This was Pharaoh's knockout punch. And you know, if you've seen a great heavyweight champion, they have that right hand. I remember that left to the body, when Joe Louis hit Max Schmeling, left to the body, right to the jaw, and Schmeling is down. He never got up again. And I'm just saying to you, friends, that God's got a right hand that won't quit. And when he throws it, you know he's thrown it. All right? And that's what these guys are singing about. Remember, the Jewish people, they weren't singing that way when they saw Pharaoh. They were getting all upset and worried and all of that. But now, what we just read is after they knocked Pharaoh down. And now they're like, "Woo-hoo! you know. They're talking about what God did, and they're going through it in detail. And you need to do that. You need to think about things God has done in the Bible, like we're doing tonight. The Red Sea. You say the Red Sea, we still talk about the Red Sea? Yeah, didn't Cecil B. DeMille make a movie on the Red Sea? What was that called? The Exodus or something? I mean, that thing is still being talked about. Why? God likes it when he gets a reputation, I've got the right hand. God wants his name praised. And he wants us to praise his name. And so that's what you need to do. Not after he delivers you, but before he delivers you. I'm doing it right now. I did it before the 2016 election. I did it before 220 and after 220. I'm doing it right now because it's in the Bible. And in fact, do you know in the book of Revelation, after the rapture of the church, when the Old Testament saints of Israel and other Old Testament saints are raptured with the New Testament saints, do you know that in heaven, just before God pours out the bowl judgment, his final wrath, in Revelation 15, I want you to know what they're talking about, what they're singing about. Here's what it says. It says in verse 2 and 3 of Revelation 15, listen, this is the raptured Old Testament and New Testament church. All together, it says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. You're going to sing that song. And it says, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7, they started praising God. When Ammon came against Judah under King Jehoshaphat, and Edom came against Judah, and Moab came, three nations, and they were ready to swallow them up. And Jehoshaphat said, believe God, believe his prophets, believe God. And they had the priests, and the priests praised God. Last I checked out, all of us are priests. Amen. And we need to praise God. When's the last time you offered a sacrifice of praise? You know what a sacrifice of praise is? Jack Howes preached on that. You let me hear that message years ago. A sacrifice of praise is when it costs you something to praise God. Because you don't see the deliverance. You see the enemy. You hear his vaunting. And yet you still praise him. And you recount the things that he has done. And that's what's going to happen in the future. And the church is going to be doing that. And so if God did it back then, guess what? He'll do it again. And why not ask him if he did it back then and he's going to do it again? Why not, in the book of Revelation, we know you're going to see the right hand of God. Why not ask him to do it now? Why not put in your order for a mini day of the Lord? You say, well, the country's not worth it. The country is so corrupt and so wicked. Well, so was Sodom, but Abraham prayed for Sodom. And God said, if you find 10 righteous, I'll still spare it. Even though there's Sodomites, they were bad. I mean, they were coming to drag the daughters out and the men out, and they were going to do sodomy on them. It was bad. But I'm telling you, if he could have found 10 righteous people, God would have spared. That's why the best way to spare America is pray for the power of God on your life and go soul winning. Amen. And get in a bus ministry and do something. Amen. And that's what we can do. And then recount the things that God has done. And you can use that as an argument to God. Because here's what it says in 2 Chronicles 20:19. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korites, stood up, their priestly people, priestly tribe, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Let's just say praise the Lord, all of us. Praise the Lord! Do it again! Praise the Lord! Do it again! Praise the Lord! Yeah, there's nothing wrong. You say, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Bapticostal, so amen. Praise God. Don't be afraid to praise God. And you need to recount and that's why Moses was different than the children of Israel. You know, the Bible says that the children of Israel praise God for his mighty acts. But Moses knew God's what? Ways. You see, the children of Israel praised God when he acted. But they didn't offer a sacrifice of praise when the enemy was coming at them. Every time they were basically blaming Moses for getting their hopes up and being dumb. And Moses said, you remember what he said. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because he saw what God did in the past, and he expected God was going to finish the work. And so tonight, I'm just saying to you, your enemy proposes, but God disposes. So don't fear the power of your enemy, and do recount the specific deliverances of your God. You say, why are you preaching this evening? I want you to know what's going on, but I don't want your hope to be in man. In Gateway Pundit or in some other thing. I want your hope in God, in his word, in his ways. I want you to get to know him. I want you to wield the weapons of his warfare. Prayer, mighty through God. Soul winning. The Great Commission. That's the power. And one more thing I want to say tonight. Your enemy proposes, but God disposes. So don't fear the power of your enemy, and do recount the specific deliverances of your God before it happens, you see, not after. And then thirdly and lastly, do praise the character of your God. Not just what he does, but praise the one who does it. Look what it says in verse 11 of chapter 15. I'll read it. And you follow along your copy of God's word. I'm trying to get this verse 11. There it is. It says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Do you know what the word holiness means? Holiness is the sum total of everything God is. And what it means is God is different than every other created being. Satan, his angels, every other created being is created by God. God is the great I am. That's right. Nobody created him. That's right. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need our help. Amen. He is the Lord. The God of all flesh. The God of all creation. Who made everything out of nothing. And so we are to praise him for his holiness. That is, he's unique. He's set apart. And he loves to humble the pride of Pharaoh. He said, for this reason I've raised him up. Wouldn't it be great if for this reason he raised up Soros? For this reason he raised up Gates? For this reason he... And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? Sooner or later he will. His timing is always good and it's always right. So tonight, I want to encourage you to praise the character of your God. Brag on his attributes. Brag on his holiness that we just talked about. Brag on his justice. Because Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Ask God to show forth his justice. And he delights to do that. And offer him the sacrifice of praise. I just end with this, and I've shared this before, but I got to share it again because I always think about the Red Sea. I remember when the devil tried to take me out of this pulpit permanently. I remember when he was hitting me up with lies and devilish things back in 2017, and there were people, I knew it, in this government, they wanted to take me out. I knew it. Years ago, they used to go into our baptistry, and they were accusing us because we baptized children of all kind of garbage. And I knew it was going on for years. And finally, they saw an opportunity, got some carnal people, and thought they could do it. But you know what? I remember when I was going through that, praying, and other people were praying, and I said to God, Lord, when they get me before a hearing, and the solicitor for the county comes in to try to get me out, I said, God, let it be the Red Sea. I said, and I remembered the Egyptians were almost overtaking the Israelites, ready to take me out. And I remember that when the Egyptians went to get the Israelites, do you remember what happened to the pillar of cloud that was a fire by night and a cloud by day that was leading the Israelites? What happened to it? It went around behind the Israelites. God's got your back. He's a God that gets your back. And he was not only the way out of Egypt, he was in the way of the Egyptians. He is not only a God that is the way, the truth, and the life, he is in the way of Pharaoh, of your enemies that hate you, that want to destroy you. I like that. He's the way, but he's got my back. He's in the way. And I remember praying. I prayed it over and over again. I said, Lord, let it be like the Egyptians. Let their chariot wheels drive heavily. And then, remember, their chariot wheels came off, Lord. Take their wheels off. And then drop the Red Sea on them. And I expected that day in court that would happen. And it seemed like it was starting out that way. Then there was a lying false witness. I said, that liar. And I was like, ah. And I was feeling that. And I was like, God, help me. Help me. That night, after that happened, that hearing, I was in my bedroom. And it was, I said, where was the Red Sea, Lord? Where are the wheels coming off of the chariots? And then you bring in the Red Sea on them. And it was like a still small voice. Don't you remember the county solicitor that was coming? He was late. He didn't get there on time. He was like a half hour late. His wheel was flat. He had to take his tire off to get there. And the judge waited for the decision. But when the judge made the decision, it was a knockout punch because the judge saw through it. Saw through it. I got that. And I'm just saying to you, we need to praise God for his character. We need to recount his specific deliverances, like I'm talking to you from the Bible and in my own experience. And so don't fear the power of the enemy, but do keep on serving God. Do keep on and pray. And when people tell you, oh, pastor's preaching politics tonight, you tell them, no. No, no. Pastor's doing what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You pray for those in authority. But remember, our highest law is for the United States is the Constitution. There are a lot of people that swear to defend the Constitution. They're as lawless as can be, as corrupt. They need to be removed from power. In the courts, we have George Soros bought and paid for DAs all over. How do you think they're trying Trump in New York State all the time? Because they've got it all. New York State is really done. I mean, they got people moving out of New York left and right. And I love the Yankees, but God help New York State. You know, they sued Trump for $183 million. Some lady that said rape is, I'm not even going to quote it. She's a liar. Liar. What does the Bible say? Don't bear false witness. She had no witnesses. She didn't even know the year. And then she's celebrating the money and saying to Rachel Maddow, let's go spend the money, we'll go shopping. I never heard a rape victim in my life talk like that. They don't act like that. That's wickedness. But I'm just saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You can go to God. And what are we doing? 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Pray for those in authority. Pray for our constitutional republic. Why? That we, God's people, who are doing the work of the Great Commission, we want to fill our Jerusalem. Once we fill this, we want to go to our Judea, plant independent fundamental Baptist churches all over. All over. For America. For our children and grandchildren. You say, well, Pastor, what do you think? You're going to see America get saved? I like what Jeff Fugit said. I agree with that statement. He said, I know the end times are coming, and I know the prophecies are coming. He said, but not here, not now, not on my watch. That should be your mentality. Right. Not this defeatist attitude like, oh, just, you know. That's not God's attitude. Yep. Have a mission-centric attitude. The Great Commission. That should be your heart and your mentality, not this escapism mentality. By the way, the tribulation's, the rapture's not coming before the tribulation anyway. It's not. Mark that down, too, while you're at it. It's coming after it, before. You say, well, we're supposed to be out of here before God's wrath. Yeah, that's Satan's wrath. We're out of here. But even then, when that does happen, you don't need to fear. All this still applies, except then the knockout punch is even going to be greater. And you can get your popcorn for that one. It's going to be great, because the rapture, no secret event. It's going to be out there, man. It's going to dwarf what happened to Pharaoh. Amen? That's what we're looking forward to tonight. Hope in God. Trust in God. Praise the Lord. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about